All right, welcome everyone back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am speaking with Amanda Salzhauer and Dell Atkins. And I tell you what, it is just so amazing that, as you pointed out, we are hardwired for kindness. I mean, it's understandable. It's almost conceivable that we would think, especially in the 21st century, when we see so many things that are not going the way we would like to as far as how people interact, it would be tempting to wonder, at the very least, if we're hardwired for meanness. But we are hardwired for kindness. So, and one of the things, again, your focus is starting with the young, the parents helping their children learn to be kind people on purpose. What are some of the approaches that parents can use in shaping their children in that manner?
Well, I think there are quite a lot of different things, and we offer several tips and strategies in the book. But one of the things that I think as parents and grandparents and teachers and adults in general that we can all start with is being a kindness role model ourselves. Yeah. And thinking about how we treat other people. And remember that our kids are always watching us, listening to us, taking in what we do and say. And so that, I think, is really one of the most important first steps. And think about not just how you treat other people, how you talk to other people, but also what you communicate to your kids and to the world around you non-verbally. You know, what's the expression on your face if you walk by somebody, you know, maybe who's on the street begging for money? How do you behave around, you know, the crossing guard if you're walking your child to school in the morning? And think about what you do and say when you're out in the world and also when you're at home, because that's what our kids are going to take in first, is how we as parents and grandparents behave around them.
So it is critical then that, for example, at home, if there's a two-parent household, mom and dad pay close attention to how they interact with each other.
Absolutely, because that is, as Amanda was saying, the role model of how we treat one another. And children are watching and listening to everything that's going on around them, very, very young children. And one of the things that I think we often don't remember is, you know, we are very often quick to praise our little ones and our older children, but particularly little ones, for their musical ability, for their sports ability, for their academic ability. But we often overlook their acts of kindness and their moments of compassion for others when they are clearly aware of another child's distress or pain or wanting to do something really lovely, you know, like refilling the dog's bowl with water or comforting someone when a little friend might have lost something. And we sometimes don't tell the children how, you know, that that's really very generous of you, or that shows that you really feel how she's feeling. And I think what we can do is pay attention to reinforcing the kindness that we do see in our children. And unfortunately, particularly parents of preschoolers who are with their kids a lot typically, they overlook these things all the time. And that's when we can kind of work that muscle, the kindness muscle. There's a wonderful researcher, neuropsychologist named Richie Davidson, who talks a lot about, you know, we have muscles, but we have to work them. We have to work them out. The kindness muscle is like that. If we don't pay attention to it, it will atrophy. And we have an entire lifetime with our children to do that. It's never too early, and it's never too late.
I like that, too. That's such an excellent point you make, that it's never too early, it's never too late, and we show them, we prove to them that we really, really value their acts of kindness by praising them for those the same way we praise them for winning an award in sports or winning a musical award. That is such an excellent point that we can so easily overlook.
So, I think one of the other things we can do, excuse me, Amanda, will you step back for a moment?
Go ahead.
I think one of the other things we can do is when we watch a movie or television or read a book with our children, we can talk about the characters and we can talk about the choices they make. And if they behaved in a way that we admired, say, well, why do you think they did that? Or was it tough for them to make that decision? Or what would we do in a situation like that? Or what do you think made them make that choice? And use the news and use the movies and use behavior from celebrities that we observe and talk about them from the perspective of our values in our family. This is what we do in our family. And I think that reinforcing for a child that his or her environment is something that values kindness and kind behavior is really important because that's where it all starts. And then you can talk about what the child experiences in school or in the neighborhood or what's going on that may or may not be kind, but you use it from this foundation. And that's why we call what we spoke about before the fundamentals. What is your foundation? What are your values in your family?
And I like the fact that you both mentioned the fact that this isn't just about the role of the parents, it is also the role of the grandparents who also have great influence on the children.
Absolutely. And I think that often grandparents have sort of a level of status or get a certain level of respect from kids that at times they don't give their parents, you know? And I think that having that intergenerational connection is so important for kids and can also be a real help for parents as well, especially, you know, as kids get older and they may be sort of pulling back from their parents. Grandparents can be another tremendous role model. And, you know, and I think it's also, there are so many opportunities for kids to connect with older relatives, whether it's a grandma, grandpa, great aunt, great uncle, and learn about how the world was different in their childhood. Learn about how, you know, an older relative's outlook might be different from their own. And there's so much to be gained from those, you know, intergenerational connections and role models, for sure.
I tell you what, you're talking about a family affair, which helps us begin to grasp and appreciate even more the fact that this really is about family for the purpose of impacting community as whatever part of the world each of us, each of our children, can impact as they go along. Do you find that as children are shaped, brought up in this manner, they're taught to be kind, they're trained to be kind, not only by according to what we say, but as you mentioned, according to what they observe us doing, do you find that it becomes enough a part of who they are that as they grow older, it remains a part of who they are? Or do you find that some of the things that go on in the world that can be so contrary to that training kind of drains it out of them?
It's a very good question, Carl. And I think that a lot depends on the person, but there's some very interesting research that really supports that kindness does lead to compassion and happiness and an improved self-esteem and better mental and physical health and even future success. And with children, they become less likely to be bullied. They become stronger within themselves. So I think in part, it's very much that it helps the child become very centered and strong and able to really see the difference between right and wrong and stand up for what they believe in and who they are. So I think that we have quite a lot of that. There is also peer pressure. There is also, you know, sometimes people get very down when they say, oh my goodness, am I really able to make a difference? But one of the things we talk about in the book is how important it is to have small acts of kindness on a regular basis be part of your everyday life. And we actually talk about this as building lifelong habits so that it becomes part of who you are. And with just as with any habit, you have to do it a lot and do it regularly, and it becomes part of who you are. It becomes part of your identity, that you think of yourself as someone who cares about other people, who tries to make the world better. And it doesn't mean that we are walking around like angels. It means that we're walking around being aware that we are connected energetically and actually within the world to where we live, who we interact with, people we know and don't know, and that we have a purpose. Kindness actually is linked with giving people purpose and meaning in their lives. And, you know, if you volunteer, you can volunteer with your family. You can engage your children with helping you select something that might reflect their interest, their passion, their talent. And then, again, it becomes part of them.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, Dale and Amanda are sharing with us how we can empower our children so that they can empower others. We'll be right back.